Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another broadcast of Elevated Places. Brothers and sisters, I am so honored to serve as a guest host for this special evening and special topic. I'm Brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad out of Memphis, and again, I'm so thankful and elated to be hosting Elevated Places this night, where we have a magnificent and important topic. The topic we intend to discuss this evening is under the title, Up with Jesus, Down with Santa, The Power of Economic Withdrawal and the Building of the Black Community. Now, for those who are common listeners to Elevated Places, I'm certain that terminology is not strange to you, for you heard those words, those terms, those mantras uttered by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan and several others who stand for freedom, justice, and equality and are looking to unite our people for freedom and independence. So, brothers and sisters, I'm, again, so excited to have, to be able to host this show with you this evening. This mantra of Up with Jesus and Down with Santa was brought back to our attention back in 2015. I believe some of you may remember as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was gearing up for the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. And there was so much going on in the world, in the country, and among our people that we decided again to unite and go with somewhat of a boycott, to boycott the injustices, to make sure that we divest from those who are not investing in us and our community, and to make sure that we build our community. And this is why the topic again tonight, Up with Jesus, Down with Santa, The Power of Economic Withdrawal and the Building of the Black Community. This is a topic that I trust you all would agree is absolutely necessary for our survival as a people. We do not want to be distracted by the hoopla of what's taking place in the news and social media, much of which is served for the specific purpose of distracting the people from what's really going on. So in this time, as we are entering what they call the holiday season again, where we know that more lascivious and lewd behavior takes place during this time of year than any other, it's unfortunate, but most depression and overly stressed out people, you know, go to their wit's end most of the time during this time of the year. So as the people, as the merchants are marketing and getting ready to get their pockets fat and take from our community, we want to have the right mindset going into this holiday season. And we don't want Santa or Satan to be able to benefit from us. Rather, we want to be able to benefit from the nickels and dimes and dollars and from the talents and resources and skills that we already have in our community. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare for an excellent program, I cannot help but to reflect on our great sister, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, who led the charge on matters like this, matters pertaining to separation, matters pertaining to us building and pooling our resources for independence. It was our great sister who really started and brought this show to where it is, and it is up to us to make sure that we keep this thing going, because our sister, the great sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan described her, was indeed a true star of God. She wasn't just a Hollywood star of sorts. She was a star of God. And that light that our sister, that illuminated through our sister, will never be put out, because our sister reflected and represented the light of an everlasting God. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm excited tonight, and I think that you should be excited too, because we're going to keep this thing going, keeping our sister in mind, keeping that spirit in mind, keeping our people and the love of our people and our community in mind as we work to build and withdraw and divest from our enemy so that we can build our community. I encourage each of you who are listening to make sure you visit our sister's website, www.ministerava.com. There you will find valuable resources that are most pertinent right now for us in this day and time. I don't have to tell you, because most of you who are tuning in, I would imagine, are frequent listeners and participants of Elevated Places, and I don't think I have to convince you that our sister was a most powerful representative of our beloved minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Brothers and sisters, we're going to get this show moving. We're about to make some things happen. We normally would probably have some news roundup at this time, but we have a special show for you tonight with some very special guests. Now, if we're going to talk about a topic like this, the power of economic withdrawal and building the black community, we have to have some qualified people who can share insight and give information, worthy information, on these matters. And fortunately, we have some of those who are more than capable of giving us valuable insight, because both of the brothers that we have with us tonight as guests on Elevated Places are really experts in their respective crafts. even though they're very modest and would not consider themselves experts, but these are professionals, these are brothers, and even more intriguing, they are followers and students of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and they were friends and companions of our great sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. So we have a power-packed night for you this evening. We're going to have our general counsel, student minister and attorney, Brother Arif Muhammad. If you don't know, Brother Arif serves as our general counsel for the Nation of Islam. He deals with most of those legal matters and matters of protocol and ethics of our great Nation of Islam. And he also serves on the executive council of the Nation of Islam, as well as a member of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's research team. He's been working steadfastly for the minister for over 40 years. Watch out there now. So this brother, when you listen to this brother speak, this brother knows what he's talking about, all right? But not only that, we have our great brother that I've also known for well over 20 years now, our brother, Brother Asika Muhammad, who is based out of my city, Memphis. So you know I'm a bit partial to my brother, but he's been a specialty lending sector. He's a specialty in the lending sector for nearly 30 years. So this brother knows something about finances. Now remember, we're talking about economic withdrawal and building the black community. So we need those who know something about finance, who know something about money, who know something about the economy, who can give us some insight into this falling America that we are in the middle of. Now, Brother Asika is originally from Detroit, Michigan, but he now resides in Memphis. And prior to his move to Memphis, he was blessed to be in the ministry class and work closely with the founder of Elevated Places, Blog Talk Radio program, Sister Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad. Both of these brothers, Brother Ara and Brother Asika, close associates and companions of Sister Ava, they're both ministers in the Nation of Islam. They are servants. They are brothers. So I want to welcome each of you, Brother Arif and Brother Asika. Are both of you online?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. I hear Brother Asika. I know that voice. Is Brother Arif with us, too?
Assalamu alaikum, my dear Brother Ilya.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh, we have a powerhouse tonight. Now, normally, brothers and sisters, I'm normally in one of those positions where I do a lot of talking and presenting. Tonight, I'm going to be kind of sitting back in the cut. I'm going to be asking questions and learning from these magnificent brothers that we have on the show with us tonight. And as we get into this talk of the power of economic withdrawal and the building of the black community, which is part of the Up with Jesus, Down with Santa campaign, I'd like for each of you to be able to share certain, I guess I would call it opening statements. That sounds like a legal term, Brother R. But if you could just tell us about yourself and why a topic like this is important. Can we start with you, Brother Asika? Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and why this topic of economic withdrawal and building the black community is important?
Yes, sir, Brother Ilya. Assalamu alaikum, family. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. And I want to first and foremost thank the Elevated Places team for continuing on with this wonderful platform, much needed platform. And all those who are constant participants and contributors to this program, thank you so much. Like Brother Ilya said, I was blessed, and I thank God, and I can't thank him enough for allowing me to in arranging my journey, that I would come in contact with Sister Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad, being blessed to be able to work with her and be in her ministry class while she was the regional minister of the Nation of Islam in the South. And during that time, with all of the wonderful blessings that we were able to receive from her in her work, the greatest gift I can thank Allah for from her is the light and spirit that her and Brother Darius Muhammad brought to the city in their work, that brought such a light that at a time when I thought that I was going to have to go outside of the nation to find my wife, they brought us light and a spirit that was so wonderful that that light shined on a sister that I had known before, actually worked with before, but didn't see her in that light, that she would be my wife now going 23 plus years.
Wow.
So I thank God for that experience. I thank God for that gift and for Elevated Places now. And thank you, Brother Ilya Rashad, for thinking about me when you, as you were developing and put on this assignment. But
yes, indeed.
You know, okay. So for 30 years, the area that I'm constantly looking at is numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in the time of the year where for retailers and for spending in general, the most active and heaviest of spending is during these 2 months, November and December. And the question I ask, and this is what I love about what's going to come and develop and develop and come out of this discussion, is why are we doing this? What is this for? And so if I could just read a few recent words that Minister Farrakhan, an lecture he gave, and my source is actually a compilation that was put together by the Nation of Islam Research Group. And these words were listed up as part of the document that was put together. Minister Farrakhan said, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in his last public message before he was assassinated talked about redistributing the pain through economic withdrawal. We have a purchasing power of over $1 trillion, but in our reckless and wasteful spending habits, we have not been able to pool our resources in a collective manner. By strategically engaging in economic withdrawal, we can begin putting power behind our demands and build a new and better reality. Let us start by not spending money during the Christmas season. Why should we make the merchants rich by their wicked manipulation and exploitation of the emotions of children, parents, families, and those we love with their pagan practices that have nothing to do with the celebration and observance of the righteous servant of God, Jesus? So, yeah, you would expect. I got a whole lot of data sitting right up in front of me. How much money we going to spend? How much money we going to spend on gifts? How much we going to spend on this? What the projections are? I mean, now that is one thing that the God of this world now has is information. And while the season starts in October, Halloween is actually when the spending, what they call holiday spending season, starts. And based upon how much money is spent on pumpkins, and all that goes with Halloween, they get a gauge and a forecast on what will be done during the heaviest months of November and December. Again, the question is, why? So, just last week, the forecast, I mean, they had already forecasted the expectation of the amount of money that would be spent as a whole. Black Friday was expected to draw $9 billion in spending. Cyber Monday is supposed to ring up $11.2 billion in spending. And then you got, they had the small business, you know, they had the small business Saturday, or there was such little mention about the small business component, but they had to add that in, right? But there's no statistics on the projections for that. So of all of these statistics, and they'll come out throughout the show as the discussion flows, the one that I found very interesting had to do with a survey that went out asking people about what areas of the holiday will be most stressful to you. And so over 50% of the people surveyed said affording the gifts that they want to purchase for their family and friends was the most stressful item on their mind.
Wow.
The second most stressful was food. Preparing and affording the food that will be needed for this celebration. And then third was the logistics to acquire the gifts that would be purchased for this celebration. Now, I was talking about this with my wife, and the point came out, well, if this is about Jesus, and we know him in the scriptures to be the Prince of Peace, where does stress come in at? Right? Where does stress come in at? So I'm looking forward to this. Thank you so much for this opening.
You dropped some stuff, didn't you?
and we're going to have some fun.
Because
Santa is definitely, right now, the way it looks.
Wow.
We're going to try to change that.
Well, Brother Seeker, we are so glad that you are a numbers man, because I'm not one of those numbers, brother. As much as I do research, I'm not a numbers dude, not that much anyway. But we're thankful for you, and we're certainly thankful for our other brother that we have, and we certainly want to hear from him, our great general counsel. He's the attorney for our nation. He's also, not only was he a companion to our great sister, but he is a companion to the beloved minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who has been not only walking with the minister, but walking and working closely with the man of God for these 40-plus years that he's been in the nation. Brother Arif, thank you once again for being with us. And I have to ask if you would share a little bit about yourself and some words on why this topic is important as well. Can you do that for us, beloved?
Thank you, my dear brother Ilya, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who intervened in our affairs in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad. We forever thank him for his coming and raising in our midst the messenger Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we can never thank them enough for their servant, the Messiah, in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names we greet you in peace. As-salamu alaykum. I want to first start off by saying, Brother Ilya, I can't say no more about myself than you already said. We have to, as we are being taught, brother, all praise belongs to Allah. And you were, as you were talking and mentioning the areas in which I serve, and that's what it is, areas in which I serve, I said to myself, you know, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, it's all praise is due to Allah. I have to say that, brother, and, you know, the Imam Elijah Muhammad wrote in, I believe this statement has arrived, if I recall it correctly. He said, if I have 40 million helpers, they are just my helpers. I alone am charged with the delivery of the message. And I say that today as a helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we would all do wise to stay in our place by seeing ourselves as helpers of Allah, His Christ, and their Messiah among us. So I thank you. I was actually, as I was listening to Brother Sika, I was starting to prop my feet up because I was so enthralled listening. I said, well, I don't have to say too much of anything. He was already unwrapping it. And he touched on some very, very excellent points. And Brother Sika, I'm sure you probably know of my relationship with your dear wife, Sister Donna, who was goes all the way back with me to the days of Washington, D.C. in the 90s. She's a wonderful, wonderful human being, and a brilliant woman. And I want to, as the lawyers say when they speak before Congress, I wish to adopt the statements of my learned brethren concerning Sister, Minister, and Doctor Ava Muhammad. Everything you both said, we adopted wholeheartedly. I would just simply say to you, to me, there was a quote in a movie that I will just use in my reflection of her, that you are and will always be my friend. Mm. That came from Star Trek. For some of you who don't know, it came from Star Trek. When Spock was talking to Jim, the captain of the starship, as he was saving them, and then he suffered passing, but then he was resurrected again in another movie. So, you know, matter is never destroyed. It just moves on to its next level. But it's always present. And the energy of our beloved sister is present. Someone sent me a picture yesterday. It was from NOI Archives, and it was a picture of her, myself, the then Chief of Staff, Brother Leonard Farrakhan Muhammad, and others standing in front of the courthouse in 1994 when we took on the New York Post on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan about the lie that he had something to do with the assassination of Malcolm X. And I just say today it's an honor to be here. And now that Brother Asika has laid a base for so much of this, he's laid out the principle of 10-10-15, as you did, Brother Ilya, as to justice or else. And I remember the minister, as we remember the minister saying, everyone, not the minister saying, everybody was saying, what is the or else? When he said justice or else. And the enemy attempted to deceitfully try to claim that was raising an army to come after white people.
Yes, they did.
And the minister said, do you know what the or else is? God is the or else.
So give us justice or else what? Mm-hmm. Or else God is going to have to force that upon you. So he is the oil. So let's be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
To the enemy, give us justice or else you have to face the wrath of God and his judgment, which is upon America as we speak. So having said that, I want to lay a spiritual context for this subject. And I want to, and Brother Seeker, when you come back on again, please give us the reference of that article from the research team that you were reading from so that we can go and get it.
Okay.
I'm looking at an article from that was in the final call December 14, 2021, entitled Why We Are Calling You to Boycott Christmas. And it's an article written by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I would say to my friends and colleagues, go to finalcall.com, do a search in the search bar, Why We Are Calling You to Boycott Christmas, and get that article because it says so much in that article about the various reasons why we're calling me. We're certainly going to touch on some today, and as we go through it, we hope to touch on some parts of it. But I also want to deal with the spiritual root of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual root of this is in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I want to refer you to, from God in person, Master Fahd Muhammad, by Elijah Muhammad, Messenger of Allah, How to Eat to Live, page 45, entitled Why and How We Fast at That Time in December.
Mm. Wow.
He says, the Christians have made holidays which are used mostly for commercialization. They buy wine, whiskey, beer, and fatten up pigs and hogs for the kill and roast this divinely prohibited flesh to celebrate what the Christians call the birthday of the Son of Man. Jesus condemns such things as drunkenness and the eating of swine flesh. The act that they carry on for the celebration of Jesus' birth is perfect for Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually was born on the 25th of December, according to the scientists and historians, as well as the words of God himself spoken to me. Mm-hmm. Right to the core.
Oh.
Nimrod was an enemy of God and one who came in the last 300 years of the 2,000 years of Moses. He led the white man against the laws of Moses and the worship of Allah. He, Nimrod, wanted them to worship idols and that which was other than God, as they did in ancient Rome. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
For your reference and edification, the spiritual root of this, why we should boycott spiritually. Also, he writes in that same book, volume 2. Let me make sure I'm clear. Yes, volume 2. On page 55, he says, this day, well, let me read a little early up. He said, this month I had prescribed for you at that time. Of course, you know, we also fast with the Muslim world now. For the purpose of getting you away from the false teachings of the Jesus birth, God has taught me that he, referring to Jesus, was born between the first and second week of September, not December. Spiritual truth. This day, the 25th of December, he taught me was the birth date of that demon, Nimrod, who was born in the 17th century of Moses' era before the birth of Jesus. He was so wicked that the scholars and scientists of scriptures of the prophets do not like to teach you of the history of Nimrod. Okay? That's two. Spiritual underpinning, the spiritual root. And finally, just in terms of this spiritual base as to why you should boycott crystal. Because it's even above economics, but the economics helps to make the point to them because the dollar is their dollar.
That's right.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes, "And our Savior has arrived." Chapter 29, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. He writes, "The deceitful theologians and writers of Christianity, along with their chief, the Pope of Rome, know the truth, but yet have deceived the people as to the knowledge of the truth by deceiving them to worship an evil demon like Nimrod. They have the history of Nimrod with them, and they use him under the name of Jesus to deceive the people to make them believe that the 25th of December was Jesus' birthday. And in this way, they would have the world worshiping this wicked, evil demon Nimrod for the all-but-perfect prophet Jesus. But Jesus was not born in December. God, in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, has taught me that his birthday took place between the first and second week of September." So now, why are we calling you to boycott Christmas? At the highest level, it is spiritual deception. You are being deceived thinking you're worshiping Jesus Christ when you're worshiping Nimrod, a demon, who broke the civilization of Moses 300 years into the 1700 years that Moses ruled was present. And so his birthday is the date that we celebrate. And when I say we, meaning our people who are not aware of wine and beer and drunkenness and frivolity and all manner of everything that would be against what Jesus taught. So if nothing else, beloved brothers and sisters, I would commend to you, get the two books from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, How He Delivered. Get his book, Our Savior Has Arrived. Get his book, The Fall of America, which we're living in as we speak, and get that seminal book, Message to the Black Man in America, so that you might be awakened and your consciousness raised where you would know why we are calling you to boycott Christmas. Thank you. I yield back the floor to my brethren.
Man, thank you. Thank both of you. See, y'all already starting off this thing with some powerful stuff. Look, the foundation and basis that both of you have laid already is worthy of dialogues for the next few weeks, I'm telling you. And thank you for giving us that spiritual insight onto the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's words, which do have bearing on the economics of America today. Brother Arif, as we, you had me thinking as I get ready to ask you all some more questions, you had me thinking about how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings literally threaten the economic stability of white America. Think about it. He took us off tobacco. He took us off alcohol, off of illicit drugs. He took us away from excessive spending and taught us to live within our means. All of these things are industries that America rakes billions off of annually off of our ignorance. So following the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the guidance of Minister Farrakhan is literally an economic threat to the stability of white America. Now, you all brought up, both of you brought up Dr. Martin Luther King and this redistributing the pain. For many of us, it wasn't until we heard Minister Farrakhan cite Dr. Martin Luther King's words about redistributing the pain. You know, many of us had never heard or knew that Dr. King said that before. Can you all kind of share with us and our listening audience, what did Dr. King, what was Dr. King talking about when he was talking about redistributing the pain?
I can tell you this, brother, if I may share this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes about Dr. King in this article that I referenced, okay? He said, remember the words of Dr. King and be the or else. This was a section of the article. He said, Dr. King, remember the words of Dr. King. And then he said, well, let me go before that. He said, you'll be the or else. God is the big or else. But you and I can be little or else. Remember the words of Dr. King when he said in his April 3rd, 1968 speech, I've been to the mountaintop, quote, go by the business stores and tell them, God sent me by here to say to you, you are not treating his people right. These are Dr. King's words. God said he wants you to treat his people fair. That should be first on your agenda. He said, but if you don't do that, in our agenda, we will withdraw our support economically from you. Then the minister said, we're going to do that until the black life, the cause of justice, is honored and respected. So economic withdrawal was a message that Dr. King gave one day before he was assassinated. And the minister also points out in this article that actually Frederick Douglass, interestingly enough, he said that this boycotting of holidays is not really new. And he mentions in this article, the minister does, he said about this, he said, listen to what Frederick Douglass said. He said, the boycotting Christmas is not a new idea at all. Oh, it started a long time ago, but it never gained the traction nationally. And he said, did you know that Frederick Douglass, one of our great ancestors, he was talking not just about Christmas, no, but he had something called a Christian thought, from a Christmas thought from Frederick Douglass, who wrote, quote, quote, the holidays are part and parcel of the gross fraud, wrong, and inhumanity of slavery. From what I know of the effect of these holidays upon the slave, I believe them to be among the most effective means in the hands of the slave master in keeping down the spirit of resurrection, or the spirit of insurrection, pardon me. These holidays serve as conductors or safety valves to carry off the rebellious spirit of the enslaved humanity. And then he also mentioned in 1962, where our great brother Medgar Evers in Jackson, Mississippi, called for an economic boycott. And that boycott in 1962, that he did was so successful, it was 99% successful, so successful that the mayor had to come out and literally beg black people to spend their money and that they would protect black people, will give you police protection from the boycotters and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, within a few months, Medgar Evers was assassinated. So this idea of the boycott economically brought forward to us most prominently today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and giving it a national platform through 10-10-15, through 10-10-15. And, of course, as he himself is the Messiah among us, well, the hearing of his word among the people carries a lot of weight, and we just have to keep repeating, keep reminding. You know, I was saying to somebody the other day, never get tired of repeating the truth.
Right.
We read the Quran every day, or some part of it. We read it completely every year. We read the scriptures. We read the teachings. It is in the repetition to bring in the truth, as it says, and may we hurl truth against falsehood until we knock out its brains, and falsehood is forever a vanishing thing. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Brother R, if you mentioned something just then, particularly with the words of Frederick Douglass and, of course, the words of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan and others about how the holidays, in words, have been used to stifle insurrection. Now, that kind of takes us back to what Brother Asika mentioned earlier about the spending and the projections of spending. Look at Black Friday, $9 billion. Cyber Monday, $11.2 billion, I think he said. And they didn't even post a Small Business Saturday, whatever that is. and he mentioned about those areas of holidays that's most stressful, gift buying, worried about what you're going to cook and food and the logistics of how you're going to ship stuff and get it brought to you. Oh, these are definitely factors to stifle insurrection. I think Frederick Douglass was on to something. Now, Brother Asika, were there some more to that? You mentioned some of those projections that some of the economists were making on our spending this year. Were there any other numbers or anything that they have projected for this holiday season as well as next year that you can share with us?
Yeah, so, okay, thank you. Now, we know that at one time this was a country that made things, that manufacturing. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing was in America. Mm-hmm. But today, and for a while now, America is a consumer economic engine. Their gross domestic product is consumerism. And so in order for this country to attempt to stay alive economically, the people have to spend money.
Wow.
Not make things and sell it to other countries. There is some of that, you know. But for the most part, the underpinning of this country is consumer spending. So they have the numbers down to the dollar of what to expect for this what's called holiday buying season. So what was now last year, 2021, it was stated that the average American, the average amount that would be spent on Christmas would be $1,000. Now, $1,000 to someone making $70,000 a year doesn't seem like a lot. But $1,000 to someone making $12,000 a year, that's a whole lot. And the terminology that they use of their forecasting is budgets. They talk about in terms of household budgets and the allocation of monies within the budget towards holiday spending. 65% of the $1,000 will go to giving gifts. Again, my question is why? 23%, $230 are going to go towards food and decorations. You got to buy the tree. You got to buy food. You got to buy clothes for the parties, right? You have to pay for all of these things. Then the remainder goes toward what they call other non-gift purchases for friends and family. So the thing that, okay, so me, I'm trying to come after your energy. Your energy is converted into money, being $1.5 trillion. I got to come after that. And so I need to stimulate you to do something that you really wouldn't do if it wasn't for a particular season. Okay? So would you buy these things for your friends and family if it wasn't October, November, or December, if it wasn't Christmas? Would you do that? Do they need what you're talking about buying? Not to, let alone, can you afford it? And so now, most of the time for us, what statistics say, what some analysis have brought out is that the poorer you are, the more you spend on Christmas. The poorer you are, the more you spend. So I can't spend what I don't have. I need to borrow in order to spend. And there we have, you know, in business, you have to qualify for a loan. And you got to go through these steps, and you got to go through all this analysis and review. And you could get denied a business loan. But as a consumer who don't qualify for a loan, you can get a loan.
Wow.
The slavery aspect, that's the slavery aspect of debt. So when they say, when that song says, you know, when it's talking about Santa, and I'm still, like, really trying to reconcile where Santa comes in to all of this. You know, we're talking about,
well,
Jesus. Yeah, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, let me just say, Santa is Satan. All you got to do is invert the letter. If you spell the word Santa, S-A-N-T-A, and write the word Satan, S-A-T-A-N, they're the same letters, just the N and the A's and the T's are inverted so that you don't know it's Santa. It's Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
So right. If you go look at it, Santa is Satan. So you're being deceived. As Malcolm said, you've been had, you've been hoodwinked, you've been bamboozled. You've been run amok. You're worshiping Satan, Nimrod. If you would recognize that you're worshiping Nimrod and not Jesus, who they deceived you into thinking that you were worshiping his birthday when you were worshiping a demon, a devil. And so all I'm saying, brothers and sisters, this should help you, as the minister said in his article, December 14, 2021, why we are calling you to boycott Christmas. It's really apostasy. It's not the truth. And so going to your point, Brother Seeker, one thing I wanted to read the minister had again in this timely article, so profound. Going to your point of economics, let's look at the money that the business people get for Christmas. This is last year he wrote this. All the holidays that America celebrates bring in a total of $750 billion.
That's right. Yes.
$750 billion. And 602.1 billion of this $750 billion pie comes in just 2 months, November and December, which makes up nearly 30% of a retailer's business annual sales. Now, the winter holidays, $602.1 billion. Back to school and college, $74.9 billion. Mother's Day, $19.9 billion. Valentine's Day, $17.3 billion. Easter, $15.9 billion. Father's Day, $12.8 billion. The Super Bowl, $8.7 billion. Halloween, $7.4 billion. And St. Patrick's Day, $4.8 billion. Holidays are a bonanza for the business community. But the worst of these holidays are Thanksgiving and Christmas. The native people are angry that we would dare celebrate Thanksgiving when Christopher Columbus sat down with the native people and had dinner. No, the native people were the turkey on the table for those folks. The Native Americans are angry. The Western Hemisphere is upset because before Columbus came, there was 112 to 120 million Indians in the Western Hemisphere, particularly in North America. And when Master Fahd Muhammad came to us, that number had come all the way down from 112 to 120 million to 2 million.
Wow.
So we don't celebrate Columbus. and we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. All right now.
Hey, that's powerful.
Look at all that money, all See? These holidays. This is in that article. You all must get this article.
Yeah, that's powerful. So if you're listening in right now, make sure you get that article. Go to Final Call, finalcall.com. And what's the name of the article again, Brother Iris?
Do the search bar, and the article is Why We Are Calling You to Boycott Christmas by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, December 14th, 2021.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, many people then, like now, would seem almost offended when they hear the minister talking about boycotting Christmas, even though you just laid it out about how it's really paganism that we're boycotting. But we've also heard the minister and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warn us that we really have no future in America's current framework. Now, that seems to be a hard sell for many of our people, unfortunately. Can you explain why? I mean, what's the truth in that we really have no future in America in its current framework? Can any of you all share words on that?
Well,
sounds like you all just don't like America.
Well, let's just say this again. If you believe that God came, as is written of in the scriptures, that he would come after a people who suffered 400 years and were strangers in a land that was not theirs, and would serve them and be afflicted by them for 400 years, God said, after that time, I will come and judge that nation which they had served and bring them out with substance, and they would live into goodly old age. Well, if you believe the scripture is real and it has relevance today, did that happen? We say, yes, it did. When did it happen? July 4, 1930, where Master Fahd Muhammad made himself known, because he had been coming in and out of America, as we were taught, for at least 20 years before he made himself known. And at his coming, he raised up one to inform us that we were his chosen people, the people of God. And he said he would fight for our, that we would once again be restored. So, again, if you have that sick kind of love for the white man, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote in Message to the Black Man, our love for him is like a sick love. It's like it's like you're in an abusive relationship that you just can't seem to get yourself out of. I mean, just think about it. All of us that are on this line have heard the stories about how people are abused, men and women, but in particular in terms of our women abused by these men, yet they stay with them, though they're abused. And they make excuses for them when they're abused. You know, I mean, I believe, as I recall, we are all men of the married classification.
Yes, sir.
None of us who are on this phone would know, my beloved wife, I love you, honey, and then I smack her. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Please forgive me. And she forgives me. And then I hit her in the head with a stick. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And then I hit her in the head with a hammer. Brother, you can't love someone that abuses you that way, but we love the white man just like that. Because we're dead to the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self. So what I'm saying, this is our work now to go after our people and give them the good news. God has come for us. You no more have to see your whole life being tied up with the enemy of God, Satan. We live in Satan's world. Some are sick enough, as Malcolm used to say about the house Negro, when the master sick, they say, we sick, we sick.
Mm-hmm.
So my point to us is, anybody objectively that can look can tell that in literal terms, this is a hell of a world. And I underscore the word hell. This can't be heaven on earth. It's hell on earth. We see it every day wherever we are. And we were taught hell and heaven are but two conditions of life.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say that we live a heavenly life here under the rule of the white man. One of the things my dear beloved sister, Minister A, we used to always say, as long as we live under them, we are going to suffer.
Man.
It is only when we are completely separated from them where we can be fully repaired and restored. And we'll bless those of us who have been recipients of this divine teaching. Those of us who have been blessed, I was not blessed to know or see Allah in person. Mm. I was not blessed to see the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but I was blessed to meet the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in him, I was blessed to get to know self, but most importantly, to know God, which is self. So, everything around us is we see it falling. And if you don't wish to make a change, I'm reminded of the Million Man March when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan quoted to us Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm asking you to look at who? The man in the mirror.
Man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Jackson's famous lyric, I'm talking to the man in the mirror, and I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make that change. That's the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan among us today, for us to look at ourselves and make the change. And as we make the change, we will also make the change in our own reality, in our own homes, in our own work, in our life. And if all of us are doing that, we'll make a new world. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, heaven for my people is what? Is now. The hereafter part for my people
is now.
So withdraw from the enemy. It's a part of separation, right? It's a part of separation, economic withdrawal. So the minister says in the article, as I conclude, stand up, black people. Stand up, brown people. Stand up, indigenous people. Keep your money, and let's show the world our unity and watch them bow.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Man, if you're listening in, if you just started tuning in, we are encouraging you to be a part of this great, great conversation. So remember, you can call in at 563-999-3065 and press 1 to be able to enter into the queue. Again, that number is 563-999-3065 and press 1 to enter into the queue. I think we do have somebody online right now. I think we have Brother Daryl that's on the line. He's been listening in. Brother Daryl, are you there? You want to share some words with us? Commentary or question?
Assalamu alaikum, family. Happy Savior's
Day.
Wa alaikum salam,
Daryl.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, I just wanted to just comment on what was said earlier about when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke and said that Martin Luther King, when he mentioned about redistributing the pain, and also bear witness to, may Allah continue to bless the Final Call Radio, because I got confirmation on what you said about when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that we have to understand that we have to continue to let, you know, up with Santa. I mean, down with Santa, up with Jesus. And also that I can bear witness to what they said on the Final Call Radio about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the birth of Jesus was around the first or second week of September. So all praises due to Allah for the Final Call Radio, because there's so much valuable information on that, and may we all continue to keep that show going, and long live the spirit of our beloved sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. As-salamu alaikum. I love you all, and stay safe.
Wa alaikum. Thank you so, so much, Brother Darrell. Always good to hear. Before we took that call from Brother Darrell, Brother Arif had mentioned something about economic withdrawal. Now, exactly what is this economic withdrawal that we hear the minister and several others talking about? What is it, and in general, what does this look like? Maybe some of you who are more financially sound, you know, because I'm not that smart, you have to tell me and teach me certain things. Can you all share exactly what is meant by economic withdrawal, and how is that going to help our people?
Well, in simple words, Brother Ilya, you said it earlier. In a word, in plain language, keep your money in your pocket. Don't go and spend your money with the enemy, continuing to fuel his society that he can continue to do injustice to us. We talk about the example of the Jewish people who applied the principle of economic withdrawal. They did for self, began to generate their own commerce and trade, you see? As we go back to the Holy Quran, Muhammad and the people of that day, their own commerce, their own trade, you follow me, among themselves. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us, you know, if five or the seven of you get together, see, of like mind, pool your resources. Economic withdrawal means instead of going to his cleaners, open your own. Instead of going to his supermarket, open your own. The very, as I heard the minister say one time, everything that you want comes from the earth. You have the same ability and right to go get it from the earth. But if you keep spending your resources with him, then you continue to uphold him while the God himself is lashing him. He wants us to withdraw. That's really a first phase of separation. Keep your money in your pocket.
Wow.
And not be so frivolous in spending. That's the simple term of economic withdrawal. You know, we call it savings, but keep your black people are terrible with savings. We spend it as soon as we get it.
Yes, yes.
You know, we are in perpetually a state of brokenness. And I didn't say wokeness. I said brokenness, B-R-O-K-E-N-E-S-S. Because we don't keep our money in our pocket. You know, I think I remember where they used to say, I don't know what it is today, Brother Asiya, that you should at least save at least 10% of what you earn. I mean, what is that correct, or is that a different figure today in
that's
terms of
correct.
What you
that's,
should save
that,
for yourself?
That's the standard. That's the standard mantra, you know, pay yourself at least 10% of your income.
Yeah, see, Brother Seeker, we don't do that. How many, when I say we, I mean as a people. If right now I can bear witness to the truth against my own self, if I look and have to see, did I just put 10% away of my charity? Did I do that? I fight hard every time Allah bless me with charity to make sure that I don't spend the whole wad up in the first 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
Now that's what we do. As soon as it comes in our hands, it's right back out. But among the enemy, his money circulates among himself. So as we used to say in our communities with the various vendors, and now we have, we used to talk about the Koreans, but now we have the Pakistanis, we have the Arabs, we have the Chinese. We have all of these different groups that come and set up in our neighborhood and sell to us, and when they pack up, they go and take their money where they live. They don't invest nothing in our neighborhood, and why should they? So then why are we spending all our money with them and not withdrawing and pooling our resources to build and do something for self? We do have the collective amount of money, but we'll continue to be fractured for lack of love of self and lack of unity, which the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will cure us from that if we would open up to hear these teachings.
If I could add to what our beloved brother Minister Arif is talking about with the wealth position. And these are from the source of these facts I'm about to read is from the book that we're familiar with, How White Folks Got So Rich.
Go ahead now.
How White Folks Got So Rich. So look at this. The dollar value of that, of the gap, has grown as well. It's kind of a continuation. According to the most recent data, the average white family had about $632,000 in wealth versus $98,000 for black families and $110,000 for Latino families. Single black women across all ages from age 16 to 64 have a median wealth of $100. And single Latinos have a median wealth of $120. The figure for single white women, $41,000. So here we go. Look, let me get to this one here that ties into
That's a heck of a gap right there, brother.
I mean, look at that gap, because you talked about a question of how what is this thing about us not fitting in their landscape, in this, well, it adds itself up. The typical black household earns 59 cents for every dollar earned by a typical white household. So economically, we still in the position of 3/5 of a human being.
Wow.
That we're still in that position from an economic standpoint as a result of our relationship with this people. So, man, okay. That's rough. But as an individual, I can look at my bank account. There's more than $100 in there. But as an individual, when, like Brother Arif said, as a people, this is our position. So something has to change.
Because something has
right
to change.
I remember when I can remember when I used to clean house. I used to be like, okay, I'm not happy. Something's not working here. I got to change everything that's going around me. So then I just cleaned all. Whoever I called a friend was not a friend no more. Because it's like I have to clean house because this is not progressing. It's not benefiting.
That's right.
I feel like I'm being sucked. The blood is being sucked from me, and we know who the 10% are. The blood suckers are the poor. That's our relationship with this people. And so, like Brother I said, we got to come out of her. Economic withdrawal, come out of her.
Wow.
Separation, huh?
That's right.
Takes us all back to our great sister, Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad, who was leading the charge on separation, which we have to definitely keep this thing going because that is our only means of true freedom and independence. And when you said something has to change, please go ahead.
Well, Brother Ilya, I would say this to you. Just keep this in mind. As we were talking, we don't have to worry about it changing because Allah God himself is going to make it change. And one of the things that the scripture talked about, Allah struck Pharaoh's wealth, right? And dried up his wealth. And so since we are so enamored with his wealth, see, and we are taught in the Quran to not cool our eye on his wealth. You follow me? Because he has us chasing what many will never get in terms of the lifestyles of the rich and famous. See, you too can be that. So there's this dream, this fantasy that you might one day do it, but it's very, very small group of us. Right. But Allah says, since you are so enamored with Pharaoh's wealth, he'll put his hand against Pharaoh's wealth. And so soon we won't have to worry about that because Allah is going to strike his wealth. And that's going to force us then to have to do for ourselves. So as Ghulam Muhammad said, do for self before you are forced to do
it. Yes, indeed. Again, we encourage you to be a part of this great conversation. If you're listening in, make sure you can call. If you're listening online, you can call at 563-999-3065 and press 1 to enter the queue and share your comments, ask your questions, and be a part of this magnificent conversation. Again, that number is 563-999-3065 and press 1 if you want to call in to be a part of the dialogue. We're talking about economic withdrawal. We're talking about building the black community. We're talking about up with Jesus, down with Satan or Santa. Same thing,
that's right?
That's
exactly so.
And
you
we're
know,
talking
if
about
I could,
this.
If I could, topic. Please, brother. If I can add something, and this is also, you know, the program that was done during the Holy Day of Atonement, Brother Arif and others did such a beautiful job bringing back to us and putting back in view that magnificent day on October 16th, 1995. What I also remember very strongly is the economic impact that that has. That was a demonstration of economic withdrawal on that day. And from what I can remember, over $1 billion was taken out of the American economy tied to that day.
Wow.
$1 billion. So
this shows.
Oh,
that's powerful.
I mean, that statement, that's a declaration of war to a people whose God is money. But that shows that we can do it. We've done it, and we can continue.
Excellent, excellent. That's motivation right there. He said that business is war. Now, we've heard on several occasions where the Honorable Minister Farrakhan has used and taught on that exact phrase, that business is warfare. Now, I never learned that in school. I have a bachelor's and a master's degree. They never told me in my economics class or anything that business is warfare. What does the minister mean by this? Can you all share the principles of the concept that business is warfare?
Well, I would first start off by saying this. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes that there were three things that the enemy would never want to teach us.
Yes.
And that is the science of mating, the science of business, and the science of warfare.
Uh-huh.
The are essentials in a society. Because we live in a world where it's a world that's based on the acquisition of things more than it is than the acquisition of knowledge, except the knowledge that you use to then manipulate others to get more things.
Yes, sir.
And so when you deal with the earth and its resources, those who control resources that are essential, that are needed by others, all we have to do is study what has happened to Africa. Because of the wealth that Africa has under the ground and the wealth that Africa had on top of the ground, which was us. So war was waged on us to conquer us and take us into what? Into slavery for what reason? For economic purpose. Rooted in racial hatred. But there are many books that have been written on slavery and its economics. Listen, we served 310 years in chattel slavery, not being paid as little as a quarter. 310 years, how much? How much wealth was that that inured to America's benefit from our chattel slavery on plantations and elsewhere doing the work of labor for them, robbing us from the continent, and then coming behind that and then taking our natural resources, particularly Europe. Europe became powerful and the Industrial Revolution behind the raping and pillaging of black people. So business is warfare, because after one begins the development of business, you then have to have the ability to protect what it is that you have.
Yeah.
From others who will greedily come after your resources and attack you, because what you have, they want it as well. This is the kind of world we're living in right now. It's not a world based on socialism, right? The society of men advocating one common cause. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's a world of who can achieve the most. And if it means you achieve it by warfare, we know all we have to do is look at the enemy. Everything he achieved it through deception and warfare. So as we now grow and develop, based upon the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that which we have been blessed to have, we have to be able to protect it. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, you have to have it. If you're going to get it and acquire the land, then you have to have the ability to protect what you have.
That's right.
In a world like this. Now, the science of warfare in its purest form is really in defense of oneself. But we know that the enemy has taken the science of warfare to conquer and to conquest and to rape and to pillage and to take. This is why Allah, God's hand, is against this world for their misuse of these things.
Yeah.
If I could chime in on that question with words from Minister Farrakhan, in closing the gap. And Minister Farrakhan says, in the word business is busy. And the I is interchangeable with Y, B-U-S-Y, busy. When a person is busy, they're active. So the science of business is the science of the life activity. The life activity that is dictated by the nature in which we're created is what we must utilize. Is that we must utilize what God has given to us, develop it through knowledge, and use that with what God has already put here to become productive, to be producers. The science of business is the knowledge of how to satisfy the natural needs of a human being in the manner that pleases God. Mm-hmm. Brother Ilya, you absolutely said it right. I don't remember hearing nothing like this in school.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And to think, some of us wasted all that money in student loans and college fees and tuition, only to find out that we could have learned all of this and more just by listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, brothers and sisters, thank you all for your comments. You all who are listening in, we have another caller that we're going to go to, and he's certainly no stranger at all to these airways. He is our brother that serves in the Ministry of Agriculture of our Nation of Islam. He too has been a good friend and close companion to our great beloved sister, Dr. Minister Ava Muhammad. And just kind of excited to hear his voice as well. Dr. Ridgely, are you there, big brother?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Well,
talk to us, Doc.
Fine, praise be to Allah. I didn't plan on calling in tonight. But, you know, after hearing all this information, which was great information, and being an economist, by the way, I have a PhD in agricultural economics. Now, most people, when you say agricultural economics, they don't hear economics. They hear farming.
Yeah.
Why?
But as he says, business, you have to satisfy the needs of the people, food, clothing, and shelter. And the only way you can get food, clothing, and shelter is go to the land. So that's why agriculture and the development and control of resources are so important. And as we look at our present condition, history rewards our research. You know, it seems a mystery as to how we're in this present condition. And some try to say that we are suffering from post-slavery syndrome, et cetera. Why don't y'all get over it? Well, we could get over it if it wasn't certain people conspiring in secret to keep us in our condition and even worse. I know that there are some people who don't like conspiracy theories, but the conspiracies that have kept us in our place are not theoretical. We have the historical basis for that. I give you an example. We had 16 million acres of land by 1910. And a PhD in economics and business, who set up the first business school for the University of Georgia. His name was Robert Preston Brooks. And he wrote a book in 1914 called The Agrarian Revolution in Georgia, 1865 to 1912. And in that, he stated about the millions of acres, 1.6 million acres that was in Georgia, and the value of $3.9 million. This is 1.6 million acres of just in Georgia in 1910. And he lamented, listen very carefully, he lamented over the fact that the blacks, all their money that they earned to buy land. And he said that at this rate, they will wind up buying up the South. So he said, we must instill in them wants. W-A-N-T-S, wants. Wait a minute. They took all their money and they bought land. Well, to me, that seems like they wanted land because they knew at that time, coming out of slavery, because they were thrown out of slavery. Basically, the North came in and took away the South workers and collateral, because it was a collateral was used for loans and not land, because land without workers ain't worth nothing, because white folks did not intend to work, so they had to have slaves. Okay. So they took away the collateral, they threw us out in the woods, and because we knew how to build and feed white folks and ourselves in slavery, we went to work, hard work, but legal work, and then we need to develop wants. Well, what he meant by that, and which they implemented, the wants was to want what the white man produced and not what we could produce for ourselves. Because once you start producing for yourself, Donald Elijah Muhammad said, you produce for yourself and then you sell the excess. Well, that's what we were doing.
Uh-huh.
We were producing for ourselves and selling to each other, producing trade and commerce amongst each other in the South. This is why 1877, they had the compromise to move the troops out of the South so they can come in and just tear us up, and they did that, burn us out. But even still, after then, we were still almost 10 million people in 1910 and owned 16 million acres of land. So there has been a conspiracy of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Federal Reserve to steal the land of the black farmer. Now, bringing the conspiracy closer to home and bringing it in line right up to the 10-10-15 justice or else, and the minister asking for a boycott. When the minister speaks, he speaks into the plans of the enemy, because Allah downloaded in him information by which he uses to deal with the current presidents as they come along. For instance, you all may remember that in February 26, 2012, that's when, at the same time we were having Savior's Day in Chicago, Trayvon Martin was being killed down in Florida. Okay, great uproar over that. Mike Brown, August 9th, 2014. Mike Brown was shot down in the street, and right after that, there was a lot of turmoil in Ferguson. And then the minister, at a press conference, he stated that those tanks that y'all brought into Ferguson last night, if you bring it up here in Chicago, me and my brother, Father Flager, will walk in front of those tanks. And I was in Chicago, and I jumped up and said, checkmate. I sat me down quickly before they took me downstairs. Anyway, I said, checkmate, because what could they do? If Mr. Farrakhan showed up in front of those tanks, what are they going to do, run over him? Bad move. But knowing what Mr. Farrakhan had done in 1972 or 74, somebody help me on that, when he told
72.
The police, 72, told the police in Harlem after they stormed the temple, and they pushed them back, and they came back again, and the people surrounded them. He told them to get out of Harlem by midnight, and they did. So therefore, the minister, not only would they have stood in front of the tank, he would have told them, get out. Now, that would have been very embarrassing for the whole world to see Mr. Farrakhan walking towards the tank and see the tank backing up. Oh, well, end of that. But they weren't finished because they had a plan. Now, you know, remember Daylon Roof in June 17, 2015, when he killed those black people in Charleston? And that's when Mr. Farrakhan went on speaking tours, and his theme became, we have to have 10,000 fearless. Now, the 10,000 fearless, of course, they took it to mean we would have 10,000 black people beating up, killing white folks. But later on, he tells us that that's meant for us to clean up our community. But then by him saying, I need 10,000 fearless, that was impetus for the young black people who are ready to fight. They were ready to be the Phillies. They want to be part of that 10,000 series. So they showed up 10, 15 in Washington, D.C. on the mall, almost a million at least. And what message did he give them? He said, I don't want you going out here burning buildings and killing people and getting yourself killed. He said, I want you to – that's when he brought up the boycott. And he gave the history of Martin Luther King, of that, and Medgar Evers, about the boycott. He said, this is how we're going to fight them. We're going to fight them with our money. We're going to withhold it. So there's a history behind what Minister Farrakhan called for that boycott, when he did, and the effect that it had on the economy and the effect that it had on the world, because by him giving the young people a way out of fighting without fighting with their blood, he stopped a race war that they were leading us into. And that race war would have caused the destruction of the American economy, and therefore they would have lost 40% of the wealth like they just did now with this pandemic, which hid the fact that the bankers had already stolen the people's money that was in stock. They had already stolen money. So they have these every 7.126 years to steal the money from the people, but they've already stole it when the people bought the stock. They don't spend it. They don't have it no more. So now they got to have a fake depression, a fake recession, to say, well, the stock's dropped by 40%. That's why your money gone. But it didn't happen. And so they could not have this hiding of the wealth that they had stolen. Now they're stuck. They done stole the wealth. The people now in retirement, the baby boomers, they want their money in their savings account. They want their money in their retirement. They want their money in the Social Security. But guess what? It's already gone. So now they have to produce COVID-19 with the lockdowns, which destroyed 40% of the stock market values. And they got away, were running away and stole the people's money. So again, I know that people don't like conspiracy theory, but our condition in America is a continued conspiracy from the time they tricked us onto Jesus, the ship Jesus, in 1555. So history, and this is what we do on the research team, history rewards our research. So we look into what happened, why it happened, so that we can learn not to allow that to happen again. So, yes.
Praise be to Allah.
Down with Sam.
Well, you know what, Brother Ridgely? I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I think it's more like conspiracy facts, you know. So we don't have to rely on theory to know that we have an enemy against us. Now, we do have, like, two more callers that we have that have been waiting. I hope we'll be able to get to them if that's okay.
Well, yes, we can. And if I could interject, Brother Ilya, 10 seconds just to say, legally, a conspiracy is not a theory. It's a fact, because a conspiracy by legal definition means two or more people get together and agree to do something. So conspiracy has never been a theory. That's another one of the white man's deceptions. Conspiracy has always been a fact of people getting together and agreeing to do a thing. That's why you can go to jail on conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's an action. Conspiracy is actually an action of two people in concert to do something in violation of the law. So we have been victims of the conspiracy of this world and Satan and the white man.
Ooh, good to
powerful, powerful. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Brother Ridgely, Brother Student Minister Dr. Ridgely, our Minister of Agriculture.
That's right.
And all of that, for your enlightening comments, as always. We have some other callers on the line that we certainly want to take. And, again, this one is certainly no stranger to these airwaves or air, whatever you want to call it, online. And that's, of course, is our brother Louis Ali from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Brother Louis, are you on? Let's see, Brother Lewis, are you on? Brother Lewis Ali.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
There he is. Wa alaikum salam. How you doing, Brother Lewis?
I'm doing really good. I'm really enjoying the show, and thank y'all so much for holding the fort down for our beloved sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Oh, yeah.
I always think about Dr. Ava and remember what she would always tell me. And she would always say, we're the winners, Brother Lewis. And so I think that black people need to really start thinking about how we're winning and why we're the winners. Like, for instance, the U.S. Secretary of Commerce during the 1950s, before integration got a stronghold, his name was Sinclair Weeks. He talked about the fastest growing economy in the world. And he said that the fastest growing economy in the world was the black American economy. The white American economy was dying, and to bear witness to what Dr. Ridgely Muhammad was implying about us being productive on the land, we were productive on the land because we were so highly land literate. We knew how to produce for ourselves. Once you can produce for yourself, all you have to do is systemize your production. And once you systemize your production, then the land becomes very productive. And in Aaron Rhea's book, The Death of Black America, not only did he talk about the 16 million, he said 21 million acres of land, because he was talking about the strategic relationships that we had with so-called Indians that who really considered themselves to be black. So we're the winners, and we gotta really start acting like it, and they're the ones who don't have any creativity, so they have to stifle and steal our creativity. There are two points that I'm glad you're on, Brother Ilya, and Brother Arif, Attorney Arif, and Dr. Ridgely, because I'd like for y'all to take a look at this. A Jew called in to Tariq Nasheed's show, and this Jew was saying, and he kept him on there for at least 40 minutes, maybe an hour, and I sent it to you, Brother Elliot, but he was saying how black people need to start being grateful to Jews who ended Jim Crow and helped them and set up the civil rights movement, okay? Never mind the fact that they totally obliterated, through urban renewal policies and integration, all of the black business districts in order to steal our resources. So they didn't do us no favor, and my grandfather was a civil rights activist and actually murdered in 1964. So they didn't do us any favor by killing off the black businessmen and destroying our businesses. Also, I don't know, but my question is, did you happen to take a look at Brother Ye or Kanye West today on Alex Jones's show? And I'll just leave it at that, because I want to be able to let other people get on. Thank y'all for such a wonderful job. I love you, brothers. I'm really proud of y'all, because the truth that the Nation of Islam's research team is putting out is really changing and setting up a benchmark for how we relate to people, not just in America, but all over the world, but in particular, God's enemies. So thank y'all again. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you, Brother Lewis. Always a pleasure to hear from you. With your commentary, and who knows, maybe if we have any time, which it seems like is drawing nigh, maybe or maybe not, we won't have time to respond to that question that you have. But we do have another caller that should be on. I believe so. Is Sister Tawan still on?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Excellent, excellent. All right, Sister Tawan, talk to us, and I think you're going to be our last caller for tonight before we get ready to close out. Go ahead and share some words with us, Sister Tawan.
I just wanted to say that thank you all first because I'm so humbled to even get on the line. And I thank all of you for all that you do, the research ministers, those that are on the council, and those that write the books for us to read, those that give us advice. I just want to thank you first. And the thing that came to my mind listening to this program all night, and like I said, my mind may not be at the speed that some others run, but what I think about is the economic blueprint. And I kept saying in my mind, it hasn't gone away.
That's right.
It's still there.
That's right, sister. That's right. That's right, sister.
And that's one of the things I always think about is the economic blueprint. And I know that the engine of the nation, I don't think it's a mantra or a motto. I think it's real. The engine of the nation is the farm. And that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad set up a cooperative model where we can meet all of our needs from the farm. And the economic blueprint would be the foundation of that, where the funds would come from and the basis of that. And I keep saying, maybe I missed the program or maybe I missed the meeting when they said, we're not doing that anymore, or that's not real anymore, and I don't think that's so. And I just want to remind all of us who have forgotten, or, you know, I know we all, you know, have so much going on in our lives, but if we could just get back to that, get back to the focus of the cooperative model of farming and business, and in cooperation, you have unity. So I just wanted to bring that point up. Maybe I didn't articulate it as well as I should, but I wanted to bring that up. Thank you so much.
Very well. You articulated
very well,
Sister Tawad. And I thank you for calling and bringing it up, because time apparently went by so fast that we didn't even have time to get into the economic blueprint, which is really part of the basis of us building our community. So thank you for bringing it up and referencing really some of the most important aspects, which is the economic blueprint given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, I think we can squeeze in maybe one more quick caller before we have our guest to close us out. We have our brother Hoyle coming out of Memphis on the line. Brother Hoyle, are you there with us, brother?
Yeah, yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Powerful show, Brother Arif and Brother Sika. All praises due to Allah and yourself, Brother Ilya. Beautiful. I just wanted to bring up what Brother Arif said about Allah has to break this economy. And we look at China, what's going on over there with the upheaval, with the iPad, iPhone. Allah is very strategic. You know, we're looking at the calamities.
Yeah.
We're looking at all of these things, you know, the tornadoes we had. Allah is very strategic, and like Sister Ava said, it has to be done in the process. But one thing I wanted to add to that right quick, and said, since the legal end of slavery, blacks had been socially engineered far away from economic development. So by the turn of the 20th century, black leadership began to forcefully rectify this crippling deficiency. And this was led by Joel Springhorn. Now, Springhorn's anti-economic position forced blacks, in his hostile reaction to Garvey, showed that the help that the Jews offered was really designed to keep blacks forever on the consumer side of American cash register. Jews have become the richest single ethnic group in the history of America by targeting the black dollar, while blacks are forced into abiding by the dictates of a Jewish liberal friendship, have now become the permanent underclass. According to the classified documents, it turns out that Springhorn was also a paid undercover agent for the United States Army. Springhorn led a small unit of undercover agents and opened 100,000 pieces of mail a week and monitored the message being promoted in the black publication. Today, inexplicably, the NAACP still gives out the Springhorn medal to unsuspecting recipients. We just have to separate And like you said, business is warfare. We could go on and on with all these things, but all of you all did a beautiful job. Separation is the key, and Allah is going to have to force us to separate. There was one more title to that 10-10-15, separation or death. You remember that?
Excellent, excellent. Boy, thank you for those reminders. Appreciate Sister Tawan and Brother Hoyle giving us these very necessary reminders. We're going to move forward. And brothers and sisters, I think we're going to actually try to squeeze in another quick caller from one of our great sisters, Sister Georgina. And right after Sister Georgina, we're going to pretty much close out with closing words from our guests, Brother Aris and Brother Asika. Sister Georgina, are you there?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sis.
Enjoying the program and the dialogue, I just wanted to say that I echo Attorney RF's sentiments that Sister Ava's energy is still here. We miss her and love her dearly. On another note, I wanted to share that my family asked me what was tonight's program about, and I said, up with Jesus, down with Satan. And I meant us. Santa. So I just wanted to say keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Georgina. And I think this has been an evening well spent and an evening with some very, very enlightened brothers who have been our guests for this evening. And I would just ask if each of you could share some words to close us out. If you could take maybe about 2 minutes to give us some closing words before we close out. Can we start with you, Brother Asika?
Oh, okay. Well, first, I just want to – it's only going to take me 15 seconds. and that's just to say it has been an honor and a pleasure to dialogue and be a part of this program with you beautiful brothers who work so hard and such soldiers for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and our nation. And thank you for the opportunity. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you for sharing your insight. And you're going to have to give me a little more hip on those numbers, Brother Asika. Always appreciative. And our great brother, Brother Aris, please share some closing words with
us
before we close out all together.
Thank you, Brother Ilya and Brother Asika. It's been a great honor and privilege to share this platform with you this evening. I do want to say to my brother who called in earlier referencing a statement made by a Jewish gentleman that we ought to be grateful. My only response to him was, please read The Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 1, 2, and 3, and then come back later to see if it is we who should be grateful to you or whether or not you should be grateful to us for what we have done for this world and how you have greatly benefited from our work. But that goes to show you again the mind of Satan, the arrogance of one who believes that he stands in the place of God and has acted as a god. So that's my response to that. Secondly, to our sister, we thank Allah for you, and as the Quran said, a reminder is a good thing for the believer. And so as a member of the Executive Council, allow me to assure you, we have not gotten off of Muhammad's economic blueprint. But once again, as so much is going on, a reminder is good enough that we all have to once again, you know, revisit, republish, recirculate. So just like with this up with Jesus, down with Santa, we're what? Republishing, recirculating, you see? And so we thank Allah for those comments as well. All we can simply say
indeed
is God is present. And in his servant among us today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan,
we have his anointed servant who is bringing to us the truth that will make us free.
Mm-hmm.
Since Justice Earl said to us, he said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, when he said that one day, brother, he would call a march, he was speaking to the minister. One day, brother, I'm going to call a march, as we talked about during the Million Man March, and we will not leave until what? We get what we came for. So the minister says in the article I've referenced several times, well, we know we couldn't stay there physically, but we can stay on that concept that we will get off of this justice or else. And so this is the time now. If we can't see the signs of Allah in his hands, as the minister said, watch the weather, and we see what has been going on, the pestilence from heaven which came upon the world, as the minister spoke to us on the Criterion on July 4th, and he talked about his mission, which is to uncover Satan so that you will recognize him, so that you will, recognizing him, move away. This is what a part of that we were attempting tonight, is to ask you to not worship Nimrod, whose birthday was the 25th of December. Worship Jesus, who was born in the first or second week of September, and Jesus didn't practice any of those habits that you see being practiced today in the name of
sir.
Jesus. So we say,
and that's
up
our topic.
With
yes,
Jesus,
sir.
Down with Santa.
With Santa. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Aris. Brothers and sisters, thank you all for your time. Thank you for your attention. Make sure that you continue to listen in to Elevated Tape Places. And make sure you visit www.ministerava.com to purchase books and master classes and continue study with our beloved sister, because her energy is continuously going. And brothers and sisters, that energy that Sister Ava is known for exuding will be shown and manifest in our upcoming documentary series, Answered, a documentary series independently made by us and certain members of the NOI research team that uncovers and unveils the truth behind the UFO phenomena, its relationship to the Nation of Islam, and world matters. And, of course, our great sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, plays an integral role in this upcoming documentary. So make sure you stay tuned for more information about that. And thank you for listening to Elevated Places. Good night. And assalamu alaikum.